Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 13 this evening. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 13. Looking forward to tonight's message. I've been thinking about this really since last Sunday evening when I got home, as the Lord began to work on my heart for tonight. And thankful that He has. And all God's people said, amen. All right. You guys have a blessing tonight. Wasn't it good to be here before we did everything and begin to sing praises? It was a good time. I enjoyed that very much. Years ago, I had the privilege to be able to go to a camp called Camp Victory. Is anybody in here that's of my age or in my age group that used to go to Camp Victory or is familiar with it? Rachel, she's one of them. Christy's one of them. It was a good camp. We started to go there after Silver State for probably about 4 or 5 years. And there's a specific thing that I remember very well about this camp, and I'm telling a story for a reason, and you'll understand this as I go on. There's a gentleman that ran the camp by the name of Boyd Halford. Godly man. He had a great vision that was given to him by God with this youth camp, and ran this for several years, and it was a good opportunity for us to go. I remember the first time we went, the camp was just, it was talked up a lot by some fellow friends of mine and that went there quite a bit. And I was looking forward to it because I kept hearing about this big water slide. You remember that water slide, Rachel? I still have back problems to this day because of that. And I kid you not. I remember them talking this up. And I remember the first time that my eyes laid hold upon this, there's a few things that went through my mind. I saw the first time in my life that I got to spend a whole week with a midget. I'd never been around a midget before, and that was kind of new to me, and she turned out to be a great young lady. I still remember her name to this day, Tammy. She's still alive and doing well, and thank God for that, and had a great time to get to know her. But there was this one particular thing that always stuck out in my mind. Everybody was talking about, after the services, we get to go down a water slide. Not only do you get to do it all day, but after the services, you get to do that. And it's so cool to do it at night. So, wouldn't you know, the first week that I go there, that it got canceled the very first night. And it didn't get canceled only the first night. It got canceled the second night and the third night and I believe the fourth night. And, of course, the fifth night, we were on our way back home. But I remember Boyd Halford saying this, that it stuck out to my mind to this very day. There are some years that I made fun of him for this. And to my shame, I feel bad for this when I think about this on many different occasions. He would say after the service, he says, children, young people, I feel that it's God's will not for us to turn on the water slide tonight. And that devastated me because I was looking forward to that. And it devastated a lot of other young kids as well. Not knowing the reason behind that. The reason behind that, as I begin to find out years later, was because he sensed that God was working immensely on the young people's hearts after the messages. And he was in tune with the Holy Spirit. And after the message, he didn't want those thoughts to go away or become distracted by a water slide that would only fulfill a few moments of fun in an individual's life. And to me, that says volumes, because he was wanting the will of God to be done in individuals' lives. Do you realize tonight you can have an influence on somebody's life, whether they do God's will or whether they don't do God's will? My biggest goal and desire in my life is to be that proper influence on an individual's life. Unfortunately, as I look back a lot this week, as I read this chapter through and through, I can recount on many occasions where I have been such a great discouragement in the life of a person because of my reactions to what they've said or my actions, my demeanor towards them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if some of those folks are doing the will of God to this day. And it could be because of the influence that I had. Your influence on an individual's life is very important. No different than a pastor as he gets up here week after week. He is your influence. And his greatest desire is for you to do the will of God. Sunday school teachers, you have given up a portion of your life. You've invested into these young people. Why? Because you want to be an influence. You don't want them to go out and live in the world and become worldly and get involved in those things and reject God. You're in it for this reason, because you want to see them do the will of God. And so you have a great influence in their life. I can look back and I can see the teachers that I had in my life and the influence that they've made in my life and how they it affected me, and I appreciate that so much. Tonight we're going to read about an individual that was doing the will of God. And along his way, he got sidetracked by another individual, another believer. So let's read this story tonight in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 13. And I'm going to read a good portion of this because we need to read this to see this whole story. But as before we begin to do this, let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, my desire tonight is for the truth of your word to be heard. Lord, it's not my job to be critical. It's not my job to be condemning. My job is to give the word to your people, to preach it, to preach the truth, to be a help to people, to be an influence. Lord, tonight I pray that I would do that. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would begin to speak to everybody's hearts here tonight, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 13 of 1 Kings, it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it were before. And the king said to the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now, verse 8 is going to be key to this whole chapter as we continue to read on. It says, And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in his place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. In other words, he was explaining to this king that he had an agenda to do. God gave him a purpose. He showed him his will in his life. And because of this, he could not be with the king at this point in time. He had to go on his way. He had a job to do. And so let's continue reading this story here. It says, Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. Do you remember what was just told back in verse number 8 and verse number 9? What he told the king? That he could not go, because the Lord gave him direction. Let's keep this in mind here. Because now we're talking about a young prophet, And now it has gone to this old prophet here. And let's read what continues to go on here. It says, and he said unto him, verse 15, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, no go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said to him, I am a prophet also as thou art. An angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. What's those last four words say? Five words. But he lied unto him. Wow. Do you see a prophet twisted the words of God to another prophet? Do you see this taking place here? Let's go on and read this. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept a commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come under the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought it back. And when he's gone, a lion met him by the way. Look at those three words. And slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass stand in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord had delivered him unto the lion, which had torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast away, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. I don't know if you realize this, but that's a great miracle that just took place here. Because once a lion begins to taste and sense blood in his system, that lion begins to devour the very prey that he has attacked. And he is relentless. And I can become very graphic if I'd want to be. Just use your imagination. But the lion did not. And in other words, the lion after this was tamed. Who was he tamed by? God. Think about that. That was a great miracle that just took place here. And so as we read on, it says, verse 28, and when he went and found his carcass, casting away, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass, the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the Lord of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. Do you realize tonight we just read a story of a young prophet who was in a sense on fire for God, doing the will of God in his life, and another individual, another older prophet, much wiser in years, who has probably gone through more things than this younger prophet has ever gone through, and he influences him to go against the very will of God in his life. And because of this, we see this younger prophet falling by the wayside. That's a devastating story. Do you realize tonight you and I could be an influence on either encouraging somebody or discouraging somebody to do the will of God? I don't know about you, but I'd rather be on the other side of that. I don't want to bring discouragement to somebody when it comes to the will of God. Knowing and doing the will of God in your life is one of, if not the most important thing that you can ever do in your life. I believe the first important thing is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then after you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you first must find out what His will is in your life. Most people don't know the will of God in their life because they're not seeking, they're not asking, they're not looking. And the best way that I can say, how are you going to know the will of God in your life is, first of all, we must get in His Word. We must allow it to speak to our hearts and allow it to change our very ways. In other words, we must come to know Christ on a more intimate, personal level. And so we must know and we must do the will of God. But unfortunately, there are many people who know the will of God in their lives, but they refuse to follow. I can probably give you name after name of people that I've talked to personally say, I've known God's will in my life, but I've chosen not to go this direction because of fear of what might happen to me. First of all, if that is you, I hope you would change your mind tonight, to be honest with you. When God has called you to do something, or when God has put a purpose in your heart to do something, don't fear, because God will equip you. He will give you the means to do what is necessary for His will in your life. Don't reject it, don't refuse it, but accept it. Allow it to be a part of your life. So in this particular chapter, we read of a young prophet who was given very specific instructions by God. When reading this, sometimes it seems it's very likely to accomplish that, hey, this is an easy task. I can do this. I'm going to get invited to come in and to eat and drink, but all I have to do is say, no, I can't, because I got to go on my way. This is the direction that God has given me. But just like any other man, whether you be a prophet or whether you be a pastor, you're going to face challenges and you're going to face distractions on your walk or in your walk with God. And we face those many times in our lives. Who has been distracted this week? Who has faced a challenge this week that you can say, yeah, my distraction, my challenge this week took my eyes off of God? I can say that myself. I'll testify that tonight. There has been distractions in my life where I have lost focus. But thank God that He doesn't give up on us. He still pursues us. He still keeps us in check. And He gives us a reality check and say, hey, don't go this way. Don't walk this way. I've given you a plan. Here's my plan. Stick with it. Stay the course. Be faithful. Keep going for me. And that's what He wants us to do. And so when we're faced with those challenges and when we're facing those distractions, what we need to do is keep going further and further for God, because that's His will, that's His desire for you in your life. So let's understand something here. This instruction given to him was without a doubt the will of God in his life. God had used him greatly. Did you not read the first 8 verses here? Did you not read what King Jeroboam was doing and God was using his prophet? Was pretty astounding when you begin to think about this. God used him greatly. And to be used by God, let's understand this. To be used by God is a tremendous privilege. Being able to be involved in a youth that I was involved in years ago, and it's hard to believe that it's been years ago, was a great privilege. I had the privilege to teach young people, even in my young age, and to be able to guide them in their life and see some go by the wayside, but rejoice with the ones that have stayed true to it. Rejoice with the ones that have stuck with it and continue to seek God's will. I've had the privilege to be able to stand before you and preach the Word of God on many different occasions. I've had the privilege to go to many different churches and preach God's Word to His people. That is a tremendous privilege to be used by God. You know, God wants to use you. He does. He has a plan for you. And allow Him to use you. Wherever and whatever the situation may be, allow Him to use you. So along his journey, this young prophet, he'll encounter another prophet of God who doesn't know the instructions that was given to him specifically by God. And he begins to challenge him. He extends his hand of welcome. You begin to see this take place in verses number 10 throughout verse number 18. He extends his hands of welcome and proceeds to find the young prophet. He wants to go out and he wants to meet him because he has heard of what he has done. And in other words, this young prophet has just, in a short, brief time in his life, has become very popular of what has taken place in his life. And so he extends his hand of welcome. But why was this so important to the older prophet, to meet this younger prophet? I had a few thoughts that had come to my mind, and it's not in Scripture, but this is just thoughts as I begin to think about this. Was it because he desired to have fellowship with another prophet? Have you guys noticed when pastor has other missionaries here and other evangelists here, how much he looks forward to having fellowship with them? Do you see the excitement on their faces and the silliness that they go through? It's good seeing our old pastor act like a silly kid. I say old pastor because it's old prophet in here. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just reading this. But it's good to see what takes place because they desire to be around each other. And they begin to, I've been around them in conversations, they begin to talk about Scripture. And they begin to sharpen each other, and they begin to edify each other. It's just something that it's hard to explain. Maybe this was his desire for this. Maybe with the position that God had put him in, he was excited to meet another prophet. And that very well could be. So he opens his home to him. For what reason? To break bread and maybe talk of their adventures that they have been on. Although he's a young prophet, God has used him immensely. And this older prophet, I don't know where he's at in his life. I don't know if he's at the end of his life. I don't know those things. But maybe he's wanting to talk about him, what God has done in his life, and the will that God has bestowed upon him, and what he has been through. But here's what takes place as you read Scripture. The young prophet is very upfront with him. Let's go back verse number 17, it says, "For it said to me, by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." He was very honest. He was very upfront with him and said, "Hey, older prophet, I can't come with you. And the reason I can't come with you is because that's not the will of God in my life. God has told me to keep going on. This is his will. This is his desire. And I must do this." But the older prophet had something else in mind. It goes on. It says, "He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. An angel spake unto me by the Lord of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house." So he opens his home to him to eat bread and maybe talk of their adventures. The young prophet's very upfront with him. But don't be fooled. When God has showed you his will for your life, and you begin to fulfill that, here's why I say don't be fooled. Because without a doubt, Satan's going to come along, and he's going to distract you from doing the will of God in your life. Most of you admitted tonight that you were distracted this week. And maybe that distraction came because Satan knew that you are wanting to pursue the will of God and he wanted to bring a distraction along your way. Don't be fooled because Satan wants to distract you. But here's what happens when we're distracted. Unfortunately, believers at times might influence you to go against the will of God. This is what happened with this older prophet. It says, the last five words in verse number 18, it says, "And he lied unto him," meaning he influenced him. He had his way with him. The lies begin to unfold. And the old prophet that we see as a man of God begins to do the lying. The message that God had given the young prophet had not changed. Had not changed. If it would have changed, do you not think that God would have told the young prophet? He would have. Because he told the prophet not to go, not to eat, to keep on going. If it changed for him, God would have spoken to him directly. And so the older prophet began to spill a lie to him, because it was God who told him directly what to do. God didn't reveal to the old prophet his will for the younger person. You know, sometimes we try to impose our own will on somebody else. We do. We try to influence them to go in directions that we want them to go. We try to influence them to do things that they don't want to do. But here's what happens so often, and I have been a victim of this, or I shouldn't say a victim, I have been one who has done this very thing. So often we think we know the will of God in other individuals' lives. And the only one that knows the will of God in that individual's life is the individual and God himself. Instead of discouraging somebody to go against God's will, encourage them to do his will. Encourage him to do his will. We are treading on dangerous grounds when we are trying to be the Holy Spirit. God had spoken to this prophet, this young man, who was doing great things for him. If God would have wanted him to go to this older prophet's house and eat and break bread with him, God would have told him specifically. So what this old prophet was doing was pushing his will and his desire upon this young man. How did he do so? He did so by creating a lie. Was he jealous because he had heard of the great things God was doing for him? Or just maybe he knew of the consequences of what would take place in this young man's life by trying to convince him to go against God. As I begin to think about this, my thoughts begin to go on. I can't blame this young prophet. After all, he was being asked and being persuaded by another God. Maybe his thoughts were, man, this older prophet, he's been through more than me. He's wiser. He's got a lot to offer, and maybe I'm missing something here. But here's was this young prophet's downfall. His downfall was he allowed this man of God to influence him to go against the will of God. And can you not see in these scriptures that Satan is working? Rest assured, when God is working in an individual's life, Satan's behind the scenes working very hard to distract the individual. And he's working hard even to this day. This is exactly why you cannot put people upon a pedestal. They will always let you down. I can just imagine as this younger prophet came along and saw this older prophet, he can probably just, man, this guy's been through so much. I can learn so much from him. I can begin to understand some more things, and he begins to build him up. That's one of man's biggest downfalls when we begin to put people upon pedestals. It truly is. Why is that? Because man will always let you down. This older prophet let this younger prophet down. And when they're on top, here's what happens. There's a long way to fall. I have always told you folks, I don't want to ever be on anybody's pedestal. Because if you're up there, guess what happens? There's a long ways down. The only one that needs to be built up, in my opinion, in my mind, and I believe I'm totally 100% right, is God himself. But so often today, here's what takes place. People worship the pastor. They'll worship the youth director. They'll worship the song leaders. They'll worship many things. They'll begin to idolize those things. And they forget what the real focus should be, and that is God himself. Somewhere along the line, between the conversation of the younger prophet and the older prophet, the younger prophet forgot what his focus was. And his focus should have been the whole entire time was God himself. Unfortunately, as I begin to read this in scriptures, we're talking about an older prophet, but let's put it in our terms today. Pastors or prophets, however you want to phrase this, are even guilty of trying to force their will upon people's lives instead of allowing them to see God's will for them. We have proof of it right here in Scripture. It happened then, and I can guarantee you this, it happens now. This young prophet allowed the influence of another man, and this was very detrimental to his life. So much, as you read in Scripture, let's begin to read this once again. Verse number 23. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a young lion met him by the way and slew him. This was the end for this young prophet. Could you imagine just reading what took place in the first three or four verses here with King Jeroboam and what was going on there and how God used him greatly? His fame began to go throughout the land. All of a sudden, he allowed someone's influence to distract him. His eyes were taken off of God. He began to ignore the will of God in his life. God came in and said, "Hey, buddy, that wasn't my plan. You didn't stick with the plan that I called you to do." And because of that, he faced something in life that a lot of folks are afraid of, and that was death. God took his life. When doing the will of God, we must stay on course. We must stay focused and allow God to be your influence. Allow God to speak to you. Man, if someone comes up to you today, especially a young person, and they say, "Man, I know what the will of God it is in my life. I know God wants me to go to a Christian college. I know God wants me to use my voice for Him. I know God wants me to marry a missionary and go off to Peru or to Africa. I know God wants me to go to ministry and to be a pastor. I know God wants me to be a pastor's wife." All those things come up. All those things happen. Let me give you some words of encouragement if that happens to you. And some young person does those things, or it could be an older person as well. Encourage them and be the proper influence in their life. Your influence will go a long way. Like I said earlier, I'd rather be the one that encourages than one who discourages from doing the will of God. We must stand the course. It's easy to become distracted. It's easy to allow other things come in our lives to take us off course. But we need to stay focused. Be disciplined. Stay in God's Word. Allow Him to speak to us daily. Allow Him to be our influence. Why is that? Because here's what I got from Scripture. Verse number 18, it says, "And he lied unto him." A prophet that was used of God lied to another prophet. God will never lie to you. God will never abandon you. And I do know this, and you guys will testify with this as well tonight. It's not always easy to do His will. But I guarantee you this, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. There was an occasion in my life about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, to where I was asked to go and begin preaching at the Open Door Mission. And I was excited about that. One of the reasons why I was excited about that, because I was following in my father's footsteps. Because I remember years ago, as when I was in school, that my father would go there, I believe, on every Monday around lunchtime, and he would take some of us kids from school, and we would sit in the services with him. And I believe he did this for one reason. I believe he wanted us to see the other side of life, what could happen when you reject God. And I believe he also used this as a point for that to be an encouragement to him, because it's not easy going into those places. And so I was asked to do these things and begin to seek God's will, without a doubt, I got peace to do this. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy getting in front of a room full of people who can care less at times. There were some people that really cared, had a great desire, but a majority of the folks didn't really care. Back in the day when pastor used to do this, they were required to go there in order to have a meal and a place to stay. Now that's not really required. But going in there, it's become very discouraging. You'd have people holler at you. You'd have people laugh at you. As you all know, that I don't speak the greatest, and I don't pronounce words the greatest. By the way, I pronounce them properly. You just don't hear them right. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But it can become very discouraging, and it can become very hard at times. And the reason why I kept going back week after week after week is because I knew that it was God's will in my life to do this. And I got discouraged on many different occasions. And I remember the words of my wife, because she went with me quite a bit. She would play the piano, we'd sing songs, we'd run it just like a regular service, except we wouldn't take an offering. And so I remember one particular evening, I didn't really want to go. And I don't know if you remember this, Chris, or not. I didn't want to go. And I told her this. And I just said, hey, it's really not worth it. They don't care. And the words that she used were words of a great influence and words that encouraged me to keep on going. She said, Chad, you'll never know what you mean to these people until you get to the other side of heaven. You know what? She's so true. What she is saying is you'll never know the effects you have on people until you get to heaven. Is it worth doing God's will? It most definitely is. Well, you just said it's discouraging and hard at times. Yeah, it's discouraging and hard at times. But I do know this. Just by hearing those words of encouragement and influencing me on my life, there will probably be people in heaven that sat underneath the preaching at the Open Door Mission that accepted Christ as their Savior, and I will not know it until I get to heaven. Is it worth it? It most definitely is. It is worth it. Is it worth doing God's will and seeking His will daily in life? It most definitely is. I started off with a story with a man by the name of Boyd Halford. There's a silly illustration, but there's so much truth in that. I will not turn on the water slide tonight because I feel it's not God's will. Because He wanted the Word of God to continue working in the hearts and lives of young people and not be distracted by all of the games and the fun that we have. I'm going to close with this thought for this reason. You know why a lot of us don't know the will of God? Because we're surrounding ourselves with a lot of distractions, a lot of fun stuff, games and activities, to where we don't know what God is telling us. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night You've given us. Lord, I want to thank You for the men and women who You have shown Your will in their lives. Lord, without a doubt, many of us folks would not be here tonight for the men and women who sought Your will. And through that, they had a desire to teach Your word and show us Your word. God, I remember one of my Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Hager. What a great influence she was. And the biggest encouragement and the biggest influence that I can remember from her was her faithfulness to You. Being sick most of her life, can barely walk, but Lord, she was faithful in teaching Your word. And the reason why, as I begin to look back throughout this past week, is because she was seeking the will of God in her life. I thank You, Lord, for not only her, but for many others who have been that influence in my life. for being that teacher, for being that example. And God, that's what I want to be in the life of people that you surround me with. I don't want to be that critical person. I don't want to be that one that discourages. But God, I want to be that one that encourages and edifies and builds people up instead of tearing them down. God, I know what I feel like when that happens to me. And I don't want to be that person that does it to somebody else. Thank you this week for allowing me to see what you wanted me to see through the scripture tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless as we leave from here. And we ask it in your name. Amen.